أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to our final concluding sessions on living the Quran through the living Quran for this blessed month of Ramadan. Today we want to look at the topic of the intention and how that plays a role in our day-to-day actions and in our day-to-day lives as Muslims, as believers. Now we know that in Islam, as we will shortly see, that everything goes back to our intention, why a person is doing a certain action. In Islam, we don't believe that it is the action in itself which is rewarded, but rather that it is coupled with the intention, and that both are presented to God. And so therefore, in addition to having our actions pure and sincere and done properly, equally as important, if not more important, is the fact that our intention has to be clear, and the rationale and reason behind why we are performing every single action that we as a believer are obligated to perform. Before we go further into this discussion, let us have a look at the verse of the Quran that we want to reflect upon today, and then we'll come back and try to understand more of the importance of the intention within our religion.
فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
Now, it so happened when both of them submitted themselves to the will of God, and he, Prophet Abraham, had laid him, his son Ismail, down on his forehead, we called out to him saying, O Abraham, you have already fulfilled the vision. That is how we reward those who perform excellent deeds. This collection of verses from chapter number 37 describes the beautiful event when Prophet Abraham, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, was ordered by God in a vision which he saw to give his son as a sacrifice. Now obviously, as we see in this story, that when he was about to put the knife on the neck of his son and sacrifice his beloved child, that God calls out to Abraham that you have fulfilled the requirements, meaning that the intention was there, that Abraham was willing and ready to fulfill the commandments of God. And likewise, his son Ismail was also willing to give himself up for sacrifice to God if that meant the fulfillment of God's requirements. This verse, and rather these three verses that we look at, that we have seen, show us the importance of the intention within our religion. And in fact, the Prophet of Islam and his successors have shown us that when it comes to the intention, that they tell us that the intention of a believer is actually even much better than the action which a believer performs. And one of the understandings is that the fact that our actions are based upon our intentions. When a person intends to do good, a person, for example, intends to help somebody out, to give in charity, to help somebody who may be in a difficult situation, even if they are not able to fulfill that intention to help, the mere fact that they wanted to help shows that they actually show concern about other human beings. Maybe they were, you know, in a situation where they were not able to help, their funds were tied, or their time was so tight they weren't able to actually support that cause or that project. But mere fact of having the intention is what Allah, what God is looking for within our lives. Now that doesn't mean, however, that we just simply make false intentions to help and then we don't help. Obviously we need to do our best, our utmost level best, when we make the intention to follow through with it, that we fulfill the promises that we make, that we do our best to live up to our word. But obviously we know that many times things come up in our lives and we are not able to fulfill. And that's where we understand the importance of our intention. You know, when we look at the intention from the point of view of the Quran and other verses, we see that God talks about intention in many other acts of worship. Many other times God tells us of people who, for example, perform acts of goodness, who from the outward point of view are beautiful actions. For example, God tells us where he says that woe be upon those people who offer their salat, who offer their prayers. Why does he say that? Well, when we follow up with the verses that continue in this passage, Allah tells us that there are certain people who perform their daily prayers, but they do so for the people to see them, for people to give them praise. They're not praying for the sake of God. They're not praying because God made this an obligation. No, they're praying because they want other people to see that they are people who offer the prayers. And so such actions, because the intention was corruptive, was a deceptive intention, therefore the action does not ascend to God and the reward is not there. We see a similar concept when it comes to giving in charity. Sometimes people give in the name of God for the sake of the pleasure of God. But sometimes people want their name to be emblazoned on a plaque. They want a masjid to be named after them. They want to be known and recognized as philanthropic people. Now there's no problem with, you know, acknowledging people who donate, who give. That is not a problem in Islam. But the problem comes in the intention of which, why the person is giving that contribution. And so for an organization to acknowledge their donors, that isn't the problem. The problem is on the other side of the equation, which is why is the donor giving that contribution? And obviously nobody can judge anybody's intention, even to see the plaque on the wall of a name of a person who donated. That doesn't mean that they were doing that act to show off. They may have given the donation with pure sincerity and love and of the utmost bottom of their heart. But the organization or institution decided to promote that name. So we should also be very careful not to judge people just because we see maybe their name being put out in the media or in the community spotlight of being, you know, generous giving people, because they may not want their name out, but the institution would like for them to be known and recognized within the society. As we conclude for this blessed day of the month of Ramadan, let us remind ourselves that our intention needs to be there for all of our actions. And we also have to keep in mind, as we continue on in life, that our intention is sometimes manifest in different ways. Sometimes our intention is merely in the heart. For example, for the daily prayers, sometimes we're told that it's better to verbalize their intention. For example, in the month of Ramadan when we fast, it is better to consciously make that verbal declaration. And sometimes we may be at a higher level of recommendation to the point of an obligation in terms of the intention, such as at the time of the Hajj, where it is much better to verbally proclaim our intention each and every stage of the journey to the house of God. Whatever the case may be, we try our best to ensure our intention is pure and sincere from the point of view of when we decide to do the good act until it becomes and reaches to fruition. And we ask God to bless all of our actions, especially our actions this month of Ramadan, and that we can continue to fast and worship God in these last remaining days, and that we are absolved of our sins and that we are forgiven for any of our slips and blunders. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.